Let us pray. Holy One, shine your light in us so that we may have understanding, and where we do not have understanding, that we might have faith, and where faith is hard, let us have hope. Amen. A couple of years ago, I came to the first community meal after the Christmas season, after the New Year, and someone said, "Welcome back, you've been away. We saw it on the sign outside." And I thought, I don't think there was anything about me on the sign outside. So I went and I looked. And this was before Wayne had a chance to change the sign. And it said, "This Sunday we welcome the Magi." Magi literally means wise ones. So I thought that was all right, really. We tend to call them the wise men or the kings. So today we celebrate the Epiphany, the visit of the wise seers, the astronomers slash astrologers, the Magi to the Christ child. You can see them up there, just coming down. Epiphany's actually on the 6th this year, always. So they're coming. Epiphany literally means unveiling or revealing. Peter Rollins says that a great deal of the story of Jesus is really set up like a magic trick. So, an illusion contains three basic elements. Something is presented to the audience. I'm a really bad magician, by the way. To the audience, and the object is made, to disappear. I told you I was a bad musician. And then, miraculously, appears somewhere else. Okay. So, that's called the reveal, that time at the end, that where it the object is revealed. It's sometimes called the pledge, the turn, the disappearance, and the prestige, or the reveal. In a really good magic show, the pledge is much more than just holding up the object, right? It's a story. And the magician tells the story, usually why they prepare the illusion. In many really good magic shows, the story that the magician tells is much longer than the illusion itself. It's a whole time of preparation. The story heightens the tension, and it also gathers all of the different people in the room into the story, so they have a shared understanding of what the magician is telling them the story is about and what's about to happen. For us, that pledge is the covenant, the Old Testament. That's the pledge. The covenant is that God will never abandon us, and God will be our God, and we will be God's people, always. And the other part of the covenant, of this great story, of this pledge, is that God will send to us a Messiah, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, the one who will save us. Through the holy people, Israel, all the nations will be made whole. The prophets tell this story, that the kings of all the nations will come and bow down before him. They will not demand payment or ransom, as had the kings of old, but they will bring gifts symbolizing the holiness and the majesty of God's Messiah. They would bring gold for the one who reigns, frankincense for the incense that is burned for a god, and myrrh, the symbol of both death and healing. And through his people, all the nations will be blessed. The kings of the nations will come and bow down before him. That's what the prophets said. And so when we speak of the Magi, we also often speak of them as kings, though that's not part of the gospel story. And we speak of three of them, not because there were three, but because there were three gifts. This is the pledge, the covenant, the story. And then the magician continues with the second part of this story, the Christmas story, the turn, the disappearance. In our story, we could think about the visit of the shepherds that way. The great and mighty king who would save us from our enemies, who would save Israel from its enemies, arrives not in a castle, not the son of Herod the Great or the Terrible, as he is sometimes known. He does not arrive as a warrior. The shepherds, not the courtiers, not the wealthy, not the priests even, the shepherds, the poor shepherds, arrive at a stable before a poor child and a poor family. The warrior Messiah has disappeared. This is the turn. And if you've ever seen one of those magic tricks where a magician takes a very expensive watch and puts it in a handkerchief and smashes it to pieces, the shepherd story is that part of our story. And then, against all odds, the big reveal. The Magi come from far away bringing rich gifts, just as the prophets foretold. The tiny child is in fact the Messiah who will save the people, and through him and through Israel, all the nations of the world will find blessing. Similarly, Peter Rollins says that when we participate in communion, the pledge and the turn and the reveal are reenacted in the sacrament. First, there's a presentation of the sacred, an object in bread and wine. And then there's the disappearance or the turn as we consume it, or if you think about it, as we honor the fact of Christ's death. And finally, there's the reveal, the return of the sacred through a realization that not only is Christ risen — that was a really big reveal — not only is Christ risen, but we have become the body of Christ through the communion. The communion is a snapshot of the Christianity as a whole, and looking beyond it, we participate in it, not just as an audience in awe, but as part of it. We are the turn and we are the reveal. This is the spectacle that is as scandalous to the world as it is transformative, a stumbling block to the powerful and foolishness to the cultured elite, but good news for the rest of the world. And as I say, we don't just watch, we participate. We are part of the trick, not just the audience. We are transformed. I, Maggie, sadly, may not actually be wise, but I participate in the wisdom that is revealed, and I turn to it again and again and again, and I become one of the wandering magi seeking the child and sent into the world to be part of the reveal. May it be so. May you also be part of the reveal. We're going to